This past Sunday night, did a little teaching on confession, and then we went through some confessions. But what I want to do tonight is a little, kind of a follow-up on that. For titles, tonight's title is, Where is My Healing? And I've ministered on healing in the past. I don't have a teaching series on it. Maybe someday the Lord will lead me to do a series on it, or maybe I'll just go back and try to find all my teachings on healings, put them together and call it a series. I don't know. What I believe is probably the most challenging aspect of healing is what I will call self-healing. And that's where you're believing for a healing for yourself. I have prayed for people. And healing has manifested. I've prayed for people and literally miracles have manifested in people's bodies. But it seems to be, you know, for myself, a greater challenge to believe for a manifestation of healing in my own body. Now, sometimes, I mean, it's happened like that, you know, just bam, there it is. And other times, man, I'm telling you what, you know, you feel like you're down in the trenches, just slugging it out. A lot of ministers, those who have been known throughout the years for what you might call a healing ministry, have struggled with this. In fact, one of the most notable, I believe, is Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, man, that guy, healings took place just, it was just incredible. And people were raised from the dead. And yet he struggled for years with kidney stones. It was so bad, he actually had bleeding. And there were times where he would literally be doubled over on the floor of a pastor's office in pain before going out to preach. And then when the service was over, sometimes it hit him again, and he'd be doubled over in the floor with pain. And this went on for years and years before finally the healing manifested. Now, I look at that, somebody like that, and I think, well, I have two choices. I can use that as an excuse for myself. In other words, well, for crying out loud, Smith Wigglesworth couldn't get himself healed, you know, for all those years, and, you know, why should I complain? Or I can look at it as though there's something about this that I do not yet fully understand. Now, I realize the concept of unbelief and so forth, and that plays a role in that. Maybe talk about it here in a little bit. But it seems at times to be harder to believe for your own personal healing to manifest than to pray for somebody else and the healing to manifest. It's a weird kind of a thing. Why is it, if I can believe and pray for people and healing manifest in their bodies, then why isn't the same belief applying to me? Do we have different kinds of belief? Yes and no. In other words, I believe for you. But now I have to believe for me. Now, believing is believing, but it is different if I'm believing for you as opposed to believing for me. Now, some folks may not think that makes much sense, but it does make sense to me. There's something about that that just seems to be a bigger challenge. And I'm not the only one who's noticed this. And, you know, you may have as well. So, does that mean that we stop believing? No, it doesn't. Like the song says, don't stop believing. You know, you just don't quit. But I want to show you some things tonight. And really, this message tonight is really to edify you, to encourage you that, yeah, I mean, you know, you may be fighting a battle for your healing, whatever that is, believing for the manifestation of it, whatever you're going through. I don't know. You may be fighting this battle, but the worst thing you can do is stop believing that healing is for you. And it can be easy because we can start thinking about all of these reasons why the healing may not be manifesting. Well, is there sin in my life that I haven't repented for? You know, did I do this and I do that and on it goes. I think sometimes that depending upon what it is we're believing for, in other words, am I believing for healing for an ingrown toenail? Or am I believing for healing for cancer? Am I believing for healing for this thing or that thing? I mean, whatever it would be. I really believe that at times, for ourselves, the physical weakness and pain can be so much that it is hard for us to focus on anything I mean anything. And I can remember here, well, a year ago. Praise God. Man, I was fighting a major battle. And by the time that they did surgery on me, I was probably about a week or two away from dying, literally. I'm not saying that to, you know, for sensationalism. I mean, it was that bad. And there were times where the pain and the discomfort and the weakness, man, I'm telling you what, I was just laying there in bed and it's like I was so weak I couldn't even get enough air to cross my lips to speak anything, to pray. And I was relegated to a lot of times praying on the inside because that gave me comfort. But I knew that there is a greater value in being able to speak it. Because that example, you know, God had in himself a desire for a universe, but it didn't take place until he spoke it. See what I mean? And so I knew there was a greater value in me being able to speak it. And there were times where, you know, I did speak. But there were other times where just flat out, I mean, it was just, I couldn't. And maybe I thought I couldn't when I really could. Maybe I didn't put forth as much of an effort as what I could have. But I know this, I was in a tremendous amount of pain, a tremendous amount of discomfort, and, well, praise God, I'm healed. And I did go to the doctor, and they did end up doing, you know, a surgery. I got a little scar to prove it. Now, I'm not ashamed to say that I ended up going to the doctor. Because I know there are a lot of people, Christians out there, they've got this crazy stigma about, you know, they don't want to go to doctors and they feel like that if you end up going to a doctor, that's a sign of horrible weakness and so forth. You know what? Here's how I look at it. I would rather have you go to the doctor and hang around a little bit longer. I mean, we need you, all right? So, you know, you don't ever let Christians, you know, I know one pastor said, you know, people, well, should I go to the doctor? Should I go to the, and he says, if you have to ask, you need to go. You know, don't ever get on this thing of you shouldn't go to the doctor. And don't anybody ever misinterpret my words to think that I'm saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. But tonight I just want to encourage you. You know, you want to know where is my healing? Well, it's there. It is there. I want you to, I just want to show you some verses to confirm this tonight. So start in Exodus 23. Exodus chapter 23. See, these confessions that we went over on Sunday night, included in those confessions are confessions about healing. Now, you can take the confessions that we used and you can tailor them for yourself. Instead of we, you can say I. And when it comes to, you know, the confessions over a, you know, if you want to specify a sickness, you know, if the doctors have told you that you have something, then you can identify it with these confessions. Instead of just saying afflictions or sickness or whatever, you know, you can just speak that thing the doctors have diagnosed. Well, here in Exodus 23, look in verse 25. It says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." See that? I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. Okay, now, some people would say, well, yes, but that's the Old Testament. So that was a promise for them. Let's deal with that right here and now. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. And I want you to see this right here in Scripture. It's talking about Jesus, who He is, what He has accomplished, what He's done for us, His position. It says here in verse 1, "Now of the things which we have spoken," this is the sum, "we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Now, yeah, that is talking about Jesus. Remember, it talks about God has exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, set him at his right hand, and so on and so forth. But now look down here in verse 6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Okay? So what we have in Jesus is a better covenant established upon better promises. With that in mind, where God made that statement to the Jews under the first covenant, and he says, you'll serve the Lord your God, he'll bless your bread, bless your water, And he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. If that was a promise under the first covenant, the old one, and we've got a better covenant with better promises, what is better than take sickness away from the midst of thee? Because what we have is better than that. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the point I'm making. That promise for them is still good for us. And more so. God says, I'll take sickness away from you. If it worked for them under the old covenant, bless God, it works for us under the new. This is a better covenant, better promises. So that means that I can rely on God to take sickness away from the midst of me. Oh, but Brother Martin, I don't want to confess sickness. Look, when your body's fighting a battle, all right? I mean, you know, if you want to just... I understand what you're saying. I do. You don't want to confess sickness over your body. But when you're under attack, it's an attack. Okay? Now, if you don't want to confess it, that you have it, that's okay. But the attack's going on. I mean, if you put a... You know that little glass tube that has mercury in it and a bunch of numbers etched on the side? If you put that under your tongue for about 3 minutes and take it out and it's over 98.6, I have news for you. Your body's under attack. Now, the medical world calls it a fever. Now, that happens to me every time I get around Kathy. <It's> That's a different kind of attack. Hallelujah. I'm so glad she loves me. You understand what I mean? So now there's an attack of fever. What and whatever it's related to, okay? God said that He would take sickness out of the midst of me. So therefore, Father, I thank You for taking this sickness out of the midst of me. You've taken it away. You see this? So now this is a promise, okay? Since we have established that healing promises, along with anything else, but healing promises under the old are still good for us today. Let's look at a few more. Turn to Proverbs. Psalm, I'm sorry. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. And look here in verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, or I will praise thee, I'll worship thee, I'll exalt you. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. There it is. Thou hast healed me. Notice in verse 1 it talks about thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. When you're fighting a physical battle, when you're fighting sickness, any kind, that has become your foe. You understand that? Whether it's a natural sickness or it is demonic. And if you study the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, sometimes sicknesses and diseases were a result of demonic attack. So either way, whether it's demonic or just, you know, virus, whatever you want to call it, that thing has become your foe. And it says right here that, Lord, You've lifted me up. Lifted me up where? Above the attack. And You're the one that has not made my foe of sickness, disease, or demonic attack to produce sickness or disease to rejoice over me. In other words, they don't get the upper hand. God, You're the one that's lifted me above this thing. The battle is raging, if you will, but You're the one that's lifted me above this. I am above this sickness and disease. I'm above it. And You, God, have healed me. This is a promise that we have. It's a promise for me. It's a promise for you. Look over in Psalm 103. Now remember back in Psalm 30, 1 and 2. Remember it started out with praise unto God. I will extol you, I'll worship you, I'll praise you, I'll exalt you. Look here in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I'll stop right there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. There are times when you're fighting a physical battle, about all you can do is lay there and think this. Well, talk to yourself internally. I mean, if you're so weak that you can't speak, at least think this. Your stomach, it feels just lousy. Bless the Lord, stomach. You are within me. Bless the Lord, kidneys. Bless the Lord, gizzard. I mean, whatever you've got on the inside of you, bless the Lord. Oh, my everything and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The doctors say that you have, you know, cancer in some organ of your body. Just tell it. Bless the Lord, pancreas, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, verse 2, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. There's your healing right there. So see, here's another promise. It's for the body of Christ. Look over in Psalm 107. Now, verse 1, once again, here's praise and worship. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. If He's good, that means He's concerned about my physical condition. If He's good, then He sure doesn't want me suffering. If He's good, He doesn't want me racking up medical bills. He'd much rather me use that money for kingdom purposes. You understand what I mean? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Now look here in verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And somebody could come along, yeah, but that was just Israel back there. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. We've already established the fact we've got a better covenant with better promises. So if He sent His word and healed them, I'll guarantee you His word has been sent for my healing as well. So here's my healing. God sent His word. See, this again is why it's so important for us to grab a hold of the word of God concerning our healing. You know, it's tough in our minds to grab a hold of the fact that speaking something off of a written page works better than a pill I swallow with a glass of water. Because the pill I swallow with a glass of water is something tangible I am doing. Translation, works. Now, I'm not saying don't take your pills, all right? But what I'm saying is, God has exalted His word above all. You know what I mean? And so He says right here that He sent His word and delivered me from all destructions. Now look over in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I realize that a lot of these verses people have read before. But like I said, I just want to take this time tonight and edify you with some passages of Scripture to show you where your healing is. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Here a while back, I read to you an expanded version of that because I went through and I broke down some of these words in the Hebrew. Here's what Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 is saying. Surely He hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He hath used His own strength to perform the labor to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pains, and sorrows. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes He became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole. Praise God. I mean, how are you going to dispute this? It's right there. There's my healing. There's your healing. It's right there. Now look over in Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Now in verse 4, it says, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. Now remember, this is prophetic in nature. If you recall, it says that Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God, and Jesus was from what tribe? Well, tribe of Judah, from Mary's side. It says, verse 5, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and for all those, or for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from the city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. He's going to establish health and He will cure. A lot of times, and this is talking, I mean, in the Hebrew, these words are making reference to, you know, physical healing and so forth. A lot of doctors will tell you, well, there's no cure. But God says He'll cure. God, I thank You for curing me. I thank You for curing me. Doctors said they can't. They said there's nothing they can do, treat symptoms, but they can't cure. They'll just try to, you know, ease my suffering. But You cure. Hey, listen. Back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, and I've taught on this before, He started out by creating all of the molecules, all right? Now, it's actually smaller than molecules. It's the particles that make up the particles, which make up the particles that make up the molecules. But all the little parts, okay? He made all those. Now, if He made all of them, and then He began putting them together to form planets and trees and bugs and dogs and fish, you with me? If He's that smart, don't you think He knows how to repair cells in the body that are acting wrong? People say, you know, well, you know, can't cure this, can't cure it. God can. Now, the doctors can diagnose a condition that's trying to kill you. But God can cure you of that condition. Look over in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 18, you read the story of Jairus' daughter. He came to Jesus and He said, look, my daughter is dead. If you come lay your hand on her, she'll live. Jesus arose, followed Him, and so did the disciples. Well, in the midst of this, this lady comes along. She has an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years this has been going on. Now listen, for 12 years this lady's had this problem. But there's something about Jesus that gives her hope. She's heard of what Jesus does. And so here she is. She goes up to Jesus, behind Him, touches the hem of His garment, and bam, she gets healed. And Jesus realizes power has gone out. He turns around and He says, well, what did you do? And so she explains it to Him and says here that she's made whole from that hour. In other words, not only did the bleeding stop, but the cause of the bleeding stopped. She didn't just stop not hurting or not feeling good, but the cause of the problem. See, there are a lot of people, and I know you guys have heard these stories before, somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, and then like, boom, 2 months later, and they're dead. Well, they didn't know that the cancer was in there, all the weeks and months and years or whatever, but it was in there doing that. You know, attacking them, trying to kill them. They didn't know this. No pain, no discomfort. This lady's had this problem for a long, long time. And she was made completely whole, not only of the symptoms, but also of the cause of the problem. And then he gets to the house, this ruler's house. He's coming up and they say, well, she's dead. And then Jesus walks in, verse 25, takes her by the hand and she rises up and she's totally and completely healed. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus, was in the process of doing A, when this guy interrupted with problem B. In other words, Jesus in verse 18 is speaking, teaching. And here comes this ruler and says, my daughter's dead. Come lay your hand upon her and she'll live. So Jesus gets up and follows him. Now here's what I'm getting at. Why would Jesus be more concerned about a lost person's healing 2,000 years ago than he would be his own brother or sister being healed today? He stopped what he was doing and got up to go minister healing in that situation. So what in the world makes you think he wouldn't want you to be healed? Now, let me show you another place here. Look in verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Didn't matter what it was. Everything. Somebody could have come up to him and they said, well, you know, I got arthritis, and boom, it's gone. Could have said, well, I got an earache, boom, it's gone. Could have said, well, you know, I've got this, I mean, back then they wouldn't have called it a tumor, but, you know, I've got this lump right here. And it would have been gone. I mean, it says every sickness and every disease. Nothing was left out. Now, if he's going to do that then, what makes you think he wouldn't do it now? Look over in chapter 15. And in verse 29 it says, Jesus departed from thence, came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Maimed. That means there's something messed up on your body that I don't care what you do, they can't fix it. And I just want to say this. And I know a lot of people think this is just a way out there in left field kind of thing to say. If you're listening to this and they've had to amputate something off your body, what in the world makes you think God can't replace it? The worst thing you can do is resign yourself to the fact that God has forgotten how to make a new leg or a new arm or a new whatever. If you're maimed in any way, shape, or form, you can be made whole. I stand here before you tonight. I've got glasses on my face to help me see. And, when the service is over, I'll be driving home. And you need to thank God that I've got these glasses. Because until there's a miracle healing, man, you better give me about a 10-minute head start. And then you drive the other way. And on a variation of the theme, my eyes have been maimed by nearsightedness. Because doctors say there's nothing you can do. Well, you could have laser surgery. I'm not going to go off on a tangent about laser surgery, but they don't tell you everything that they need to be telling you about laser surgery. It's not the cure-all that many people think. In fact, unless they've come up with a new procedure, laser surgery procedure that I don't know about, which they could have, your eyes will still deteriorate after the laser surgery. And eventually, you're going to need glasses again. A lot of people don't know that. So here we see Jesus. It doesn't matter what people have, healed. And the Bible says, and you don't have to turn to it, but over in Hebrews chapter 13, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. So if he can heal people back then, he can heal people today. Absolutely. And by his stripes, we were healed. He became our doctor that healed us. And we'll see this a variation on this theme. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter makes reference to this, what we read over there in Isaiah. When he says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So there it is again. So now God's on his throne, and he's looking down at us, and he's saying, look, the healing is there. It's not being kept. It's not being withheld. It is available to you. Look over in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So God's word is life to everything in me that is trying to die. God's word is healing and health to every part of my body. And it's like he's saying, my son, you better pay attention to this. My words are your life. My words are your healing and health. So don't let them depart from your eyes. And you better keep them in the midst of your heart. You say, but Brother Martin, this is not always that easy. Because if I do go to the doctor, you know what I'm going to do, don't you? I'm going to sit there and confess sickness. Think about it. You walk into the doctor comes in the office and says, well, what seems to be the problem? And if you look and say nothing, if you start, you know, ripping off scripture, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. God sent his word. The doctor's going to say, well, why are you here? You're going to tell the doctor what you're fighting. And it can be a challenge because you're trying so hard to be the faith champion. But then there you are. Well, doc, I'll tell you what. This hurts, that hurts, and, you know, my gitchy goomy done got and everything else. I mean, what do I do? And the doctor says, well, we need to, you know, check this and, you know, poke that and shoot that and everything else and, you know, send you to a specialist or whatever. And part of you saying, but I know, where's my healing? Where's my healing? Okay, because right now I feel so stinky. I'm not too concerned about your healing. I want my healing. We'll worry about you later, okay? But I want my healing right now. Mine. Now, we're not that selfish, but when you feel lousy, let's face it. You know what I mean. And it's not like you want to be cruel toward anybody else, but man, when you feeling good feels good. Amen? And you want to feel good so you feel good about ministering to other people. So you have all of these promises here in the Word. And God says, don't let my word depart. Now look at this. Let them not depart from thine eyes. What do we have tonight? Well, we have a situation to where we've gone through Scripture and we have seen verses relative to God promising healing. Now let me just lay in a little bit of a disclaimer here. Healing does not mean you're going to live to be 350 years old. All right? It just means that at the transition from this natural into the realm of the spirit, it's going to be a whole lot easier. I mean, what is so wrong with laying down and closing your eyes, saying goodbye to everybody, preaching to them a little bit, you know what I'm saying, and then just going on? I know people die in wars and this, that, and the other. Okay, we're not talking about that. So we've had God's word shown unto us tonight. And now God is saying, all right, now you've seen this. It's in my word, my promises for your healing. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Don't let them. Stated differently, I know you can't walk around all day with a Bible in front of your face, all right? Don't ignore them. When you have the opportunity, it's not a bad thing to read these verses again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Read them out loud to yourself. And these confessions, the part of the confessions about the healing, speak it over your body. The Bible talks about don't get weary in well-doing. The Bible talks about sowing to the Spirit. The Word of God is sowing life to your spirit so that life can be released out of your spirit to produce healing in your body. Look, guys, I fight battles too. I mean, I'm not... All preachers do. I don't care who you are. But Kenneth Hagin one time, he used to talk about how, you know, he'd never been sick in 50 years or whatever. And somebody really kind of pinned him down on that. And he said, look, you need to understand something. And I'm paraphrasing Kenneth Hagin's words, and this is recorded. He said, when I tell you that I've not been sick in 50 years or however many years he said, I'm not telling you that I haven't had to fight symptoms. He said, I'm not telling you that I haven't had to fight sickness that tried to attack my body. He said, but I've fought it to keep it from overtaking my body. And so, if any preacher stands up and says, I'm never sick or I've never been sick, as though that they've never had to fight a physical battle, I'd like to sit down and ask them, you know, what are you telling me you've never had to fight it? You know, come on. I mean, I'm about ready to call you a liar. So you better don't tell me. The point I'm trying to make is this. In these flesh bodies, which are susceptible, these are corrupted bodies, all right? They're not glorified yet. So therefore, yeah, they're susceptible to attacks of any kind of sickness, whatever you want to call it. They're susceptible to that. And we know that sometimes Satan would attack people. He's attacked folks over the years with different sicknesses and diseases. But God says, my word is health, is your healing. My word is more powerful than any sickness or disease or affliction that attacks your body. Now, some folks would want to argue with me about that. Well, then, now, wait a minute. No, you know, I'm exalting God's word above your unbelief. And listen, sometimes you go to the doctor. Well, go. Just go. I'm not saying don't go. Look over in James. You know, the book of James is in the Bible. Now, there's a reason I said that. Because there are people who never want to discuss a physical affliction. And they feel like that if they do, I kind of talked about this earlier, they feel like if they do, they're less of a Christian, they're not a faith person and all this other. In James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him tough it out. Keep his mouth shut. or he will demonstrate a severe lack of faith and God will not love him anymore. Amen? You guys don't agree with that, huh? It says, is there any sick among you? Now look here, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now a lot of people think that you cannot receive a manifestation of healing unless you're anointed with oil. That is not true. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He didn't say anything about anointing with oil. But it's not wrong to anoint with oil. I want to make sure you understand that. I'm not trying to contradict Scripture. I'm just trying to help you understand that if anybody tells you you have to use oil, they're wrong. Now, I've actually had people, how can I say this? There was a person one time, and I don't remember exactly what they said, but it was almost like they thought that unless I grabbed some oil and, you know, put it on them, that I shouldn't be praying for them. It's like, okay, you want me to anoint you with oil? It's fine with me. I'll do it. We had some up here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. I'll do it. I don't care. But it says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. See that? What do you think that means? I'll tell you what it means. It means let somebody know you're fighting a battle. You see that? Now let me just say this, and I'm saying this in love, but if you fit into this category, then you fit into it. But I want you to consider this a loving and gentle rebuke to every person who calls this their home church, who has fought a physical battle and you never let me know. Shame on you. If you're my child, I'd give you a timeout. Now, I'm serious about the, you know, you need to rethink this position. I mean it. I'm the pastor of the church, and I should at least have the opportunity to pray for you. And we've had people go through things and never let me know. And then I've had people come, did you know so-and-so? And I'm going to say, no, I never heard about that. Well, did you know that so-and-so was in the hospital? No. Well, they're home now. What? Well, did you know? The extreme example, I've shared this before, when we were pastoring down in Springboro, there's a lady, she showed up every few months. I mean, you know, she was not regular at all. Then somebody comes up to me one day and said, did you know that so-and-so died? I said, what? They said, yeah, she died. When? Oh, about, you know, a month ago. I said, what? Oh, yeah, they had the funeral and buried her and everything else. And I'm thinking, well, okay. I mean, there's a lady that died and they done stuck her in the ground and nobody told me. I didn't even get any chicken out of the deal. Come on. Now, I know, you know, Brother Martin, that's not very funny. Well, you laughed. That's the extreme example, okay? But, you know, down there and up here, it's been the same thing. And I know this happens in other churches, other pastors as well, okay? I know that. But I want to make sure all of you understand this. Those of you watching that consider this your home church, but you live anywhere else but here, if you live around here, you ought to be coming here. I mean, if you're watching, you've got to just be here. But, you know, if you consider this your home church, you consider me your pastor, whatever, and you're fighting a battle, for crying out loud, man, send me an email. Or if you're feeling so bad you can't send one, have somebody send one for you so that I can pray and so others here can pray for you. If you consider yourself a part of this church family, then act like it. Let us know. Same thing, you got kids and whatever, you know, fighting a battle. Let us know. We can pray. We'll pray. But I'm serious about this. Will you folks, you know, if you're fighting a battle, I'm not, you know, you don't have to, yeah, but I don't want to complain. You're not complaining. It says right here, a call for the elder. Call, send an email, or whatever, but let me know. It says, well, you know, the doctor said, you know, I've got, you know, this, you know, or, you know, I've been fighting this thing here, you know, just pray. You know what? Two sentences. That's all it takes. And I'll pray. And others can pray. But it sure is hard to pray when you don't know. Really hard. Now, I'm not mad at you. I want to make sure you understand that. It just, we're a family. We're a family. And, you know, we're supposed to be praying for each other. And so I just want you to know, you're not burdening me by letting me know what I can pray about, okay? Now, you've all heard this, and there are some people that aren't here tonight. Maybe they'll listen to this. Maybe they won't. But I am, help me out on this, would you? You know, if somebody's going through something, just have you let Pastor know. Send him an email. Call, leave a message on the machine. Whatever. Just, you know, so he can pray. So he can pray. I will. I will pray. Okay, now, it says, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. All right, now, practice what you preach, Brother Martin. I'm going to, right here. For the last 2 months, I've been battling. I thought it was fluid in my left ear. Well, you know, I've been confessing. And I did go to the doctor, talk to the doctor about it. And I said, well, you know, try some decongestants because that'll, you know, loosen stuff up and you know, fluid flow out. So I tried the decongestants. And I'm not even going to begin to tell you how those things messed me up. And so finally, still confessing. And every now and then, you know, some progress. It's not nearly as bad as it was. Went to a specialist yesterday. And here's what they found out. It's a really odd thing. They said, there is no fluid in your ear. And I'm thinking, okay, but you know, you've all had fluid in your ear. You know what it feels like. You know, you're swimming or whatever. So they said, you know, if you have fluid in the eardrum will bulge out, okay, because of the pressure from the fluid. And they said, you have reverse pressure. I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, your eustachian tube, for some reason, is not working right. It's created a vacuum, and it's sucking the eardrum in. Is that weird? Yeah, that's weird. So, okay, fine. In the name of Jesus, eustachian tube, you're healed. I mean, you know, don't give me that. I know why this attack is hit. I'm not stupid. In 30 days, I'll be climbing on a jet to fly at 35,000 feet to Australia. You ever flown before? You know how the pressure in your ears? Uh-huh. All right, Satan's just trying to complicate it. Well, the fool, it ain't going to work. I just saw, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Here's my healing. Now, I'm going to keep fighting this thing. But if I expect you to share with me, then I'm going to stand here and share with you. Now, you know, I'm not talking about every little hangnail. You know what I'm saying? And I fought a lot of physical battles I've never told anybody about. And there's nothing wrong with that. But after, you know, 2 months of fighting what seems to be a very simple thing, okay, I'm telling you. Now, I've just shown you that I'm healed. You don't run around telling people, pastor's going deaf, pastor's going deaf. I'm not... See, that's one of the dangers of... You know why it says, you know why it says called the elders of the church? It's because they're spiritually mature enough not to turn around and confess worse things on people. I don't know, Pastor, he may have a brain tumor, something big up in there, blocking his hair and he can't hear. No! It is not a tumor. How many of you saw that movie? So don't you go confessing crazy stuff over me. Confess my healing. Hallelujah. By Jesus' stripes, pastor was healed. You see what I mean? Now, I'm closing here with this. I'm not even sure how. Just remember, if you're fighting a battle for your own healing, for some reason, you know, it seems to be a real challenge for people to do that. Don't get discouraged. Because God has said, my word is that healing. So don't let it depart. Keep it in your heart, which means it's going to be coming out of your mouth and you'll be speaking healing over yourself. Again, that's not denying what you're fighting. But what it means is, you're applying the one thing, the power of God's Word, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, the whole nine yards. You're applying God, if you will, to the condition. And it's not wrong to ask people to pray for you. And I would have never shared this thing about my ear if it hadn't been for, you know, fighting this battle now for 2 months. So I'm sharing with you. And I'm letting you know. And I thank you for your confessions. I thank you for praying. I thank you for that. But the same thing for every one of you. And if you find out that there are certain people that they just don't seem yet to know how to speak God's word over sickness and disease, then those are the kind of people you probably don't want to tell. And you probably don't want to ask them to pray for you because they don't know how yet. They don't understand. But the people who do know how to speak God's word, they'll recognize, all right, you're fighting a battle, but we're calling it over, we're calling it done, calling you healed in the name of Jesus, so on and so forth. Then those are the kind of people you want standing with you. So don't get discouraged. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting, because God's word says the healing is there for each and every one of us.